Perek Dalu Pasuk Aleph Vashafti Ani Voereh Es Kol Hashukim Asher Nasim Tachas Hashemesh. I have returned. Okay, Vashafti. What is Vashafti referring to? Chazarti. Well, let's read the whole pasuk. First, Vashafti Ani. I looked. I took another hard look. I returned. Voereh. And I saw Es Kol Hashukim. I took a good hard look at all of the oppression.
Oppressors.
Okay, they have acts of oppression. Okay, or oppressors. Asher naasim tachas hashamish, that have taken place. Whatever. All of the acts of oppression. Asher naasim tachas hashamish, that have occurred.
We have it in a context like the same mishpat la shukim.
To the oppressors. Right. It's all the same. Vares kol hashukim asher naasim tachas hashamish. I took a good hard look at all of the acts of oppression that have been committed, that have occurred tachas hashamish in this world. Vihinei, and he goes on to elaborate. Dimas hu hashukim. I've taken note of the tears of the hashukim. Ve'ein lahem menachem. I've taken note that they have no comfort. Umiyad. Oh, shekehem koyach, in the hands of their oppressors, there is power. And then he repeats himself.
Are we sure that you're talking about the oppressors here or the oppressed?
The oppressed. I'm sorry. The dimas so ashukim, the victims.
Yeah.
I've taken note of the dimas, the tears of ho ashukim, the tears of the oppressed, of the victims. The ein lohem menachem, and I've taken note that they have no comfort. Umiyad oh shekehem koyach, in the hands of their
oppressors.
The oppressors, there is koyach, the ein lohem menachem, and then to repeat the second time, there is no comfort to, seemingly on a very simple level, to the victims. There's a lot of redundancy, a lot of verbosity in this pasuk. Let's take it step by step with the mitzvot of David. V'shafti chazarti v'isi es kol ha'arurim asher na'asim ba'ilam. I've taken another hard look at all of the events. The error means occurrences that have taken place in this world. V'hinei dimas ha'ashukim, reitzolai mar dimas ha'bechi shel ha'ne'eshokim. Who's the one that's crying? The aggressor or the victim? Not the aggressor. So we make it clear, the tear of the victim. The tear of cry, shel haneshakim, of the victims. Hine zecheles, it flows. Umit tap tepes, and drips. It flows and drips. The ein lohem emilu hisnachem, and there is no one out there in the world to give comfort, to come to their rescue, and to give them comfort. Miyad oish shekehem koyach, af shehema ne'eshakim miyad oish kehem b'koyach hazroya. Even though they are oppressed in the hands, by the hands of their aggressors, with koyach hazroya, loy b'mishpat. So he's coming over here to explain what the word koyach is. The Mesudas David is saying a very novel interpretation. He is saying that sometimes in this world, when people suffer, no one's going to come to their cause, no one's going to come to their rescue, because the attitude is they deserve what they're getting. The reason why they're suffering is because they've chosen this lifestyle. They had many opportunities to get themselves out of the situation, to lift themselves from being in a state of being victimized, and they just don't want to help themselves. And so good for them. They want to live like this in a third world country. They want to live in a refugee camp. Okay, talk about the Palestinians. Some of them are still living in refugee camps. It's already been 60, 70 years. So, you know how many opportunities you had to get out of there? You know how many times you had an opportunity to make your lives better? You don't want to help yourselves. You can't help someone who does not want to help himself. So then we can understand why there will be no comfort. Ein lohem menachem. No one will come to their rescue, to their aid, to give them comfort. But when you see people that are pure victims, they do want to help themselves, and they're being harmed for no good reason, then people are sympathetic. They have empathy, and they do come to the rescue. So here is what the pasuk says: Umiyad oshkeim koyach. The reason why the pasuk says koyach, according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos, is the oshkeim, their aggressors, are causing them to suffer, not because of mishpat, not because they deserve to cause them to suffer, but because it's nothing more than they're taking advantage. Zroya, koyach hazroya. Koyach here is in contrast to the word mishpat. If it would be umiyad in the hands of O shikehem, of the aggressor, would be mishpat. I'm punishing you, I'm causing you to suffer because you deserve it. You are people who are evil people, or you are people who don't want to help themselves, so therefore we have no choice but to deal with you in this fashion. Then it would be legitimate why no one is coming to their aid. But that's not the case. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, Ruba de Ruba. In the big picture of things, people, no one wants to be a victim. And people do want to help themselves. And the reason why these people that he's taking note of are suffering is because they are true victims in the full sense of the word. Umiyad o shikeim koyach. In the hands of the aggressors is true koyach, indeed koyach, and not mishpat. And yet, we would expect someone to come to their aid, still in all the Ein Lohem Menachem, still in all known is coming to their aid. So therefore, it's a very novel interpretation of the pasuk. It explains the repetition of why it says Ein Lohem Menachem a second time. It explains the meaning, the deeper meaning of the word koyach. Koyach in contrast to mishpat, and gives some more flavor to the pasuk. Okay, now Rashi has a whole wild interpretation of this pasuk. He's describing what's taking place in Gehenna. Okay, v'shafti, everything in the pasuk he switches from this world to the next world. V'shafti ani v'ereh, as he said multiple times, Rashi says beruach hakodesh. Essentially, the Targum many times says beruach nevuah. I never took note of that point. Rashi, if you even look at the Targum over here, doesn't even say anything. It doesn't say anything about Ruach HaKodesh Nevuah, but in the previous perek, multiple times, the Targum begins by saying, I've seen Beruach
the Chazis.
I've seen can just mean I've seen with my physical eye. It doesn't necessarily mean
to contemplate, to observe.
But the Targum multiple times in the previous parak says, I have seen Beruach Nevuah. To give you one example, if I can go find an example back in the previous parak. We had so many examples. How come I can't find one now? Alright, I can't find one at this moment. Here, Pasuk Yud Beis, for example. There are many of these things. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aled. Pasuk Yud Beis says, Oma Shlomo Malka Beruach Nivuah Yad Is Arum Le Tov Arum Les Tov Ahoyim Bivnei Enosha. It's interesting that Rashi sometimes likes to go on the Midrash path, as he's doing here, and Rashi chooses the word Ruach HaKodesh, whereas the Targum chooses the term Ruach Nivuah. And we know there's a major difference between the two. There's Sifrei Kesuvim and Sifrei Nevi'im. And one of the most popular differences between the two is that Sifrei Nevi'im were written with a higher dosage of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Nevuah, and Kesuvim were written on a lower level called Ruach HaKodesh. So interesting that Rashi and Targum, when they talk about seeing things not in the real, in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, they have a different take on how exactly one sees. All right, in any event, let's see the Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk.
People don't realize the difference in the vision that you have is sometimes it's, you know, much more easy. It lends itself to misinterpretation by the Navi or by the person who has the Ruach HaKodesh. He may not understand his dream. If he has it in his dream, he could misinterpret it. Even a Navi on a lower level could misinterpret what he is. It's not like Basfak L'Ariyah Meira. I mean, that's what the Malbim and the Rambani even gets into that.
And Echanami, and then only Moshe has saw Biasplak Maria Hamir.
He goes into it on the Pasuk by Eiro Alav Hashem, Be'elo Neim Amre. That's what he discusses, that Abram, you shouldn't think that God spoke directly to Abram. It never happened. Only Moshe. And Abraham saw also B'chazon and things like that. He didn't have a direct communication with God. He had to interpret what he saw.
Okay.
But Ruach HaKodesh
is a lower level. It's a significantly lower level. And that's why the Ksuvim are written what we call Ruach HaKodesh. Targum and Rashi, it's just an interesting point. Targum and Rashi, when they want to say that the Pasuk should not be taken literally, they have a different take on what it means they saw. And after all, Ksuvim, the Chomesh Megillos is part of the Ksuvim. It's not part of the Sifrei Nevi'im. So the Targum is the one that's really going off on a limb and saying that Shlomo says, I saw Baruch Nevuah, I saw these events.
The Mepharshim explained that Yaakov, he has Fubi Agidu Lachem, so it says on there, a few Mepharshim mentioned the thing that Yaakov finally now, the dream, why now? He didn't have it and God didn't come to him now. It's the message of the Chalom that he had with the Sulam. He realized now that he misinterpreted the dream, and now he finally got it, and now he wanted to finally tell them what he saw, what God
way back.
Was telling him in the dream of the Sula.
Okay, that's
and
way back.
He didn't know it. Now he first got it.
Okay. Okay, Pasuk Aleph and Rashi. V'shavti nibu v'ere Baruch HaKodesh. I saw Baruch HaKodesh. Es kol ha'ashukim. Hanasim. We're dealing with the wicked. Rashi does that quite a bit in these psukim. We focus on the Rishoyim. Hanasim ashukim begehenim. They are oppressed in Gehenim. Ashukim b'maasim asher naasim. Due to the deeds, the evil deeds that they have committed in this world. Now, why? Why are they being punished in the Ashukim, the Rishoyim? Why are they being punished and oppressed in Gehenim? Asher Naasim, what has been done to them? Tachas Hashemesh. They exchanged their desires. They exchanged the Shemesh for their own desires. What is the Shemesh? The Torah. Tachas means chalifeha shel haTorah, in exchange for the Torah. So the Torah here, it seems, is being used as a reference to the ultimate light. The ultimate light is the Torah, and these wicked people, they exchanged the Torah for the pursuit of wickedness, and therefore that's why they have to suffer in the next world in Gehenim. V'hinei dimasu ashukim, boichim al nafshoy sam, they cry for their souls, ho ashukois biyad malachei mashchis, that are being oppressed by the angels of destruction, the achzorim, and the cruel malachim, v'cheinu oimer, oivrei be'emek habocha, mayon yishi suhu, those that pass in the valley of tears, they are put, Mayan means they're put in a fountain of Yeshisu, they're set. They're set in this fountain, which is the equivalent to the Emek HaBocha. Elu, the Gemara Darshan's Yordei Gehenim, these are the Yordei Gehenim, the Af Mikra Zekach Nidrash B'Sifrei. And that's how this passage is interpreted in the Sifrei. We're dealing with the Rishoyim. So it's very interesting that in Gehenim there are tears. Okay, is there such a thing? The Neshama cries. The concept of tears in general is a very difficult concept to understand why that's so, even in this world. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a human being that his eyes should flow with liquid when he is sad or happy, for that matter? What?
I mean, purgatory is painful to the soul. I mean,
okay, so but
if it wasn't painful, then what kind of Gehenna would it be?
Okay, but it's interesting that we're describing over here the Be'enek HaBach, that in Gehenna there is also something called tears. Obviously, it's not the physical tears, but it's something else. And there are tears of the people that are being ashukim, and they have no comfort. Okay, so that is the pasuk according to the Rashi. Goes further. The Rashi repeats himself on the Yad Oishkeim Koyach. Their oppressors, they force them, and overcome them, overpower them, they overpower them with power. Okay, what is the significance of this Rashi? I do not know. Maybe Rashi is trying to say something similar to the Mitzudos. We're saying the word koyach in contrast to mishpat. Okay, let's take a look at the Targum, Pasuk Aleph. this ano, I have returned. I reflected once again. The chazes yos, and I have seen yos kol anisin. I have seen all of the oppression. The is avidu litzadikaya beol mohadein. Targum adds into the pasuk something that he said, something similar to what he said in the previous parak. I witnessed that the tzaddikim are the ones that are being oppressed. Now, who says it is the tzaddikim? Obviously, the targum. Maybe we can just close the door. Yes. Oh, it's coming from outside. Okay.
No,
the guys up front. Oh, okay. I didn't realize. Okay, for some reason I thought it was coming from outside. All right. Okay, so. I've seen the tzaddikim. Okay, this is something similar to the previous parak. Rashi there said they were dealing with the tzaddikim and the rishayim. Here as well, he's saying that the tzaddikim are the ones that are being oppressed by the rishayim. Obviously, this is very different than the targum, where the targum says that we're dealing with the rishayim, and they're the ones that are being oppressed, being punished in Gehenim. Rashi over here says they were dealing over here with the tzaddikim in this world, ba'ol mohadein, to chois this world, in contrast to the targum Rashi that says that's the next world, to Chol Shimsha, underneath the sun, min yad, from the hand, do chakehoin, from the people that oppress them. The less di malel lehoin tanchumin, no one speaks. So when it says the word menachem, according to the Targum, we're focusing specifically on speaking words of comfort. We're not focusing on actions. You can comfort a person through action. Or you can comfort a person through words. Whoever said the word nechama, according to the Mefarshim, means to change. It doesn't even necessarily mean to speak or to do action. It means to do something to cause a person to have a change his frame of mind. Here the Targum adds, it does not say this in the Pasuk, v'les dimalel, and there is no one that speaks. There's no one that is medaber lahon tanchumin, the less lemif rakhoin, and there is no one to redeem them. There is no one to redeem them, and this is something which it does not say in the pasuk at all. All it says in the pasuk is ein lahem menachem. There's no one to redeem them min yad on sehon, from their oppressors, b'skoif yada, due to their powerful hand, the koyach of their powerful hand, uvichela, and their strength, the less dinachem lahon, and there is no one to give them comfort. Okay, so all we have from the Targum is dealing with the tzaddikim, the tzaddikim being oppressed by the rishayim, and the rishayim doesn't say the word rishayim, by other people, and there's no one that's coming along, no one's coming to speak words of comfort and redeem them from the hands of the aggressors. Now, he does not.
Rashi's talking about Gehenna, right?
Rashi is talking about Gehenim.
And Targum is talking not Gehenim.
Targum is right, it's not talking Gehenim. Now, I think there's another very important difference, is the word Dimas. The Targum, V'hinei Dimas Hashukim, V'les Dimalel Lehoim Tanchumin, V'les Lemif Rakhon Min Yad On Sehon. V'hinei Dimas Hashukim. Behold the tears, the dimas hashukim. It doesn't seem that he's translating the word dimas to mean tears, because he would say it. It seems v'hine they are v'les lemifrakon min yad on sehon biskof yuda, from their powerful hands. Dimas hashukim ve'im lecha menachem umiyad oishkeim koyach. So I don't know. He totally left this out. I'm not sure why he left this out. You see,
are we missing something in our?
You, what do you have in your Targum? Did I skip something? The Savis Ano. Let's one more time. The Savis Ano. The Chazei Yos Kol Anisin. I reflected once again, and I saw Yos Kol Anisin, all of the acts of oppression. The Is Avidu Litzadikaya Beol Mohadein Techoshim Shah. Min yad, by whom? Who is causing them tsar? Min yad do chakehon, done by their aggressors. That's it's the shaftei divers called shukim rasha nashtachas hashamesh. Okay, v'hine dim v'les dimalel. Now he totally skipped the words.
We don't have any of that.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go take another. Let me take another your text. Give me one moment, please. I'm sorry. We gotta keep up. Okay, we obviously have different versions of the Targum. Okay, let's see what we got. This I know the Chazis Yos Kol Anisin the Isavidu Litzadikaya the Irdu. Okay, so you have here the Irdu Ba'alma Hodein Techol Shemaya. The Irdu means they are oppressed in this world. Tachas Shemsha Min Yad Do Chakehon by the hands of their oppressors. The less di malel lehoin tanchumin, and there is no one that's coming to speak words of comfort. So my question to you is, why? What did the Targum do with the words? What did he do with the words?
Because no one.
Dinei dimasu
ashukim. Because no one. They're such trouble that if you can't even talk to them. You have no way to express it except by tears.
But the Targum completely leaves out those words. So I think you have to say is the word dimas, he does translate the word, and the translation is min yad do chakehon, from the hands of their oppressors. He's translating the word vihine dimas not to mean tears,
right,
to mean
I don't know how he gets.
What does it mean dimas? What other possible translation could it mean? He says to chois shimsha. That means tachas hashamish. The next words are vihine dimasu ashukim. And it's, what does he say to translate those words? Min yad do cha kehon.
That's umiyad oshkehen.
Right.
Skips the whole phrase.
The less di malel lehoine.
No, it's in a different order.
Well, it says it twice in the pasuk. Right? V'les li malel lohoin tanchumin, v'les li mifra koin min yad de'on sehon, biskof yoda uvechela, through the power of their hands and their strength, v'les di yanchim lohoin. Okay, I don't know. Maybe there's something missing. Maybe something was censored. Maybe it says something very evil about.
It's not obvious why.
About the Christians. I do not know. So we'll leave it with that. Okay, one of the bizarre things, the most difficult part of the pasuk, obviously, is the repetition, the Ein Lohem Minachem. So we had a very nice interpretation from the Mitzudos. It's coming to explain, to emphasize, that the fact that no one is coming to save them is unjust. Because if they did deserve what they are getting, then we can understand why no one is coming to give them comfort. But because it's koyach and it's not mishpat, so therefore it's not just. Okay.
Yeah, Andrew makes a very interesting statement. He says a person, what he explains it, is that a person who's observing Shiva. So he's used to people coming to him to give him words of comfort.
Right.
But if you are just sitting there and crying all the time, people just say they're going to leave you alone. I mean, you're always in trouble, so there's nothing I could do. It's like what you said before, you can only help somebody who helps themselves. So at that point, you reach a point where you have to do something for yourself. No one is coming to help you if you don't get up and do something on your own behalf.
So you think it's a deeper level of no...
They gave up trying.
They gave up.
Nobody's coming anymore to help you. You're going to sit there and cry and do nothing. It's too bad. It's not like you're sitting shiva when people come to pay their respects and give you words of comfort.
But there's a limit.
It's not going to happen.
You can't grieve your whole life.
Right. You got to get up and do something.
You said there are two different types of nechama. There's a time when people are trying to give you nechama, you're just not accepting it.
Right.
And then there's a time no one's coming.
Right.
No one's knocking on the door. No one's coming anymore. So that's even worse. Because
right.
At least you know, even though the person is in such a great state of mourning, but at least he knows that if he would be willing to accept the nechama, people are right there to support him. But sometimes the person, they stop coming, so the Ein L'Hem Menachem means no one's even trying to give comfort. That's a very interesting idea. It gets worse and worse. He's saying saying the depth of not nechama, it gets worse and worse. At least during Shiva, there are people coming to be menachem you. You don't want to accept their nechama, but in the back of your mind, you know that people are trying to give you nechama. That itself is a form of nechama. Right. You don't want to accept it, but at least you know they're trying. But then it gets worse. They stop coming. That's a deeper madrega of ein. So that's what they mean. Beautiful idea. Wow. So two different levels of the ein lahem menachem. Okay. I saw another idea. It's a very deep idea. This is a very, very a lot of depth. We think that the only one on a very simple level is Yeshukarach. Thank you. Yeah, I know about this. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Okay, we think that the only one that needs comfort are the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim who are suffering. A tzaddik suffers. He's in desperate need of comfort. Someone should come to him in comfort. But the truth is, a rasha also needs comfort. Do you think, it's not true for everyone, but many times people who do acts of wickedness, do they really want to do it?
They feel justified a lot of times. They reacted in haste.
But there are many situations where the Rishayim, they don't really want to do this. They don't really, they got caught up in something that's took on a life of its own. And they're just wrapped up in this lifestyle.
They've lost control.
They got wrapped up in a lifestyle of rishis. And they really would desperately like someone to knock on the door and say, we can help you. We can help you. We'll have a plan. We'll do something to get you to change from this lifestyle of wickedness. That's really what the end of the pasuk means. It's not going back. The Ein Lahem Menachem is not going back on the victim. It's going back on the aggressor, on the Rasha. Because Menachem doesn't necessarily mean comfort. Menachem means to change.
Vayinachem
al hara'ah. What is Menachem? Vayinachem al hara'ah. Hashem changed his mind.
Right.
Hashem is not going to wipe out Klal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel when Moshe was mispallah. Vayinachem al hara'ah. The Ein Lohem Menachem means that there's no one to persuade the Rasha to stop from his aggression. To stop from causing harm to other people. So read the whole pasuk entirely. Shlomo says, "Look, we live in a very evil world. And I see, as kol hashukim asher nasim tachas hashamish, I see there are crimes. There are crimes that are committed tachas hashamish. What do I see? I see the victim. The inei dimas hashukim. I see the tears of the victim. The ein lohem minachem, and there's no one to comfort." The victim. There's no one to come to the aid of the victim. I also see umiyad oshkeim koyach. I also see that the aggressor, the Rasha, is also a victim. Okay, that's a dangerous statement in today's day and age.
Right.
I see, but that's really what this drush is trying to say. I also see that the oshkeim, they have koyach. The koyach took on a life of its own. And this koyach that they have is out of control. And they don't know what to do with it. And because they've been trained and they've been trapped into living an evil life, they're abusing other people. And it's a rachmanis on the rishahim, the ein lohem. And to the rasha also, there is no one that is a menachem. Someone that can come along and convince them to stop behaving in such a ugly way. So it's a very
feeds into the next passage the way Ibn Ezra explains it again. He continues that
point. But the Ibn Ezra, you say, said it different there. Ibn Ezra is saying both are going the same, right? It's a different idea.
Along that line, that the people who are dead who have a better understanding of what was going on in the world than the people who are still alive and are caught up in their own stupidity, they don't realize.
Dead, okay.
You get a grand scheme.
Okay.
You see the effects of what was going on.
Okay, but this is a very
the gunman in Rome.
What?
It seems to fit the gunman in
Roanoke
perfectly.
Oh, Virginia, yes.
Virginia, what are they saying about him?
He was caught up in vicious.
It's a very dangerous thing, but over here, right? So this is the idea. So bottom line, I think we've taken away four ideas. Okay, before we go to the next pasuk, four ideas in explaining the deeper meaning of the repetition of the Ein Lohem Menachem. The Mitzudos David, he's coming to emphasize that there's no Menachem when there should be Nechama. Because sometimes a person deserves not to have nechama because he deserves to get what he's getting. No, the Shlomo repeats, umiyad oishkem koyach. The only reason why the Rasha is abusing the victim is because of koyach, not because of mishpat, and therefore there should be a response by society. And still there's no response to Ein Lohem Menachem. So it's an explanation. It's coming to emphasize, to clarify the tragedy of the Ein Lohem Menachem. The second interpretation is what you mentioned from the Ibn Ezra. There are two different levels of Nechama. There's a time when a person chooses not to accept Nechama, even though it's available. People are present. People are coming to give you... People you see, Rachman Litzlan, a very big tragedy. People come to Menachem Aval. The people, they're not willing to accept Nechama, Rachman Litzlan. And then there's the Ein Lohem Menachem. It's even more pathetic, is they stop coming. It's the next level. They just stop coming, so there's no one even to give Nechama. And then we had, the third interpretation is, the Ein Lohem Menachem is not going on the victim. Ein Lohem Menachem is going on the aggressor. That he is caught up in his wickedness and there's no one to come along and to convince him to change him. Menachem should be translated as change, to influence someone to change. There's no one to influence the victim to change his frame of mind and be happy, accept what has happened and go forward in life. And there's no one to convince the Rasha to change his approach to life and to prevent him from victimizing more people. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk base. V'shabech ani asam esim shekvar mesu. Shlomo says, I give high praise to the dead. Okay, go to the cemetery and you say this pasuk. When you walk into the cemetery, this is a very good pasuk to say. V'shabech ani asam esim shekvar mesu min hachayim asher heim chayim adena, that are still alive. The word adena is a very scary word. It means... It's like the story. They say this about different people, where there was a report in the newspaper that a person died, and he was still alive. So he responds. He sends in a letter to the editor, and he says, "Reports of my death are premature."
Mark Twain.
Premature. So where does that come from? They're premature. This pasuk, it says Adena. Adena, they're still alive, but not for long. Shlomo here is very, very sour, obviously, very pessimistic. Over here he's saying, yo, you're alive. Yeah. How much longer do you think you really got already? Asherheim chayim. You didn't have to say the word Adena. The pasuk would have been very fine if it would have stopped right now there. V'shvech ni esvech shekvar meisu min achayim asherheim chayim. Why does it have to say Adena?
Well, it's a parallel to the first part of the pasuk. Why does it have to say shekvar meisu?
Shekvar Mesu. They're already, okay, I hear, okay, Shekvar Mesu. But still in all, Shekvar Mesu, you don't need to say either. You don't need to say either. So you're a parallel, but it definitely brings out this pessimistic approach to life, and nothing matters anyway. Everything is limited. Let's see the Mitzvah's Pasuk base. V'shabeach ani retzol leimar toy v'yofel le'meisim she'enam yoydim mu'uma mizeh. They don't know from the aggression that takes place in this world, the einam mitzadim, I'll say they have no pain over this. Now, this Mepharshim explained, elaborate upon this, Mitzudas and other commentators. He's focusing on crimes that are committed between Adam lachaveroi, and that's the worst. Okay, the churban that man can make is awesome. Hashem, there are natural disasters. There are hurricanes. There are tornadoes. But, you know, they come and go. When a man makes a disaster, when man explodes a nuclear bomb in Chernobyl, you know, you can't... What? You can't go back there. It's it. It's over. Okay, they were digging for oil in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, the damage, they say, is going to last for decades. the damage that a human being can bring upon, I'm not talking about even the Holocaust, what man does to his fellow man, the Holocaust, genocide, acts of crimes that man commits against, there's nothing like it. Even Hashem can't do such, can bring about such churban, the churban that man. So that's what the pasuk here is discussing. The pasuk over here, v'shabeach ani es hameisim shekvar meisu min hachayim be'asher heim hachayim adena, the dead do not know about the crimes that one man has committed against his fellow. That's the focus. The reason why we have to make this focus is because the Gemara talks about the machlekes be Shammai and be Hillel. Noyach lo la'adam shenivra, or shaloi nivra. Would it have been better for man to be born, not to be born? And they argued over, they debated this issue for 2.5 years until they came to the conclusion it would have been better for man not to have been born. There are more lois assays than there are assays in the Torah. There are 365 lois assays and only 248 assays. So there are a lot more things that you should not do than you should do. So there's a lot greater chance the person's going to ruin it for himself in this world. It would have been better for a person not to have been born. But there was a havamina that a person should be born. Now if that's the case, how do they deal? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel came a lot after Shlomo HaMelech. And Shlomo HaMelech was very clear, and it says it's better not to be born. So why didn't Beis Shammai, why didn't Shammai and Hillel, why didn't they take into consideration in their debate that the debate already has been decided by the Chacham Mikol HaAdam? The Chacham
deciding that in his old age, not in his youth. Would a young person say it's better not to be born? You know, in an old age, you look back, you see things different.
Okay, it's an interesting idea you said. Interesting, but on a very simple level, he already decided the matter. Shlomo Melech in his old age is telling that even what youngsters should realize, they should realize you're in this world not by choice. If you had a choice, you would have been better off to shabeach ani yesa meisim shukvar meisim menachayim asher heim achayim adena. So it seems very clear. It's better not to be born, and it really goes on to say. The idea I'm telling you really is leading to the next pasuk. To the next pasuk is v'toyv mishne pasuk gimel. Okay, I really jumped a little bit ahead. Let's read down the pasuk. V'toyv mishne, better than both the living and the dead. Es asher aden lo haya, he never existed. Asher lo ro'a es hamaseh hara asher na'asa tachas hashamesh. Better than the dead and the living is the one that never existed. He did not see the evil that is committed in this world. So what then was Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing for 2.5 years? So when it was decided by the Chacham Mikol HaAdam, who was no more wise than Shlomo HaMelech. So it's a very important answer. The answer is Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are focusing on a person's responsibility klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben Adam Lamokoyim. When it comes to Adam Lamakam, you come into this world, you have a very great responsibility towards your Creator. Even if you lock yourself up in a room and you don't walk outside, like you told me yesterday, the Nazir didn't come outside until the Six Day War to go to the Kaisal. You lock yourself up, but you have an obligation, bin Adam Lamakam. You have a duty in this world to do Hashem's mitzvahs, to serve Hashem. Is a person up for the challenge? So that is the debate, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That debate was never decided. Shlomo HaMelech is not focusing on it. He's focusing on the crimes that are committed in this world. You come into this world and you have to deal with other people. And when you deal with other people, it's very easy to be a victim. In Mole Moiraha, Ish Esrei Eyu, Chayim Below. Man will naturally eat you up alive. Literally eat you up alive. Eat you up alive. Your flesh. You can imagine what they'll do to you in business, and what they'll do to you. They'll do to you everything. That's the way it is. We all know it. It's in this world. It's the survival of the fittest. So the Shlomo HaMelech is talking about crimes perpetuated, committed man against man. It would have been better for man not to come into this world to see such horror. But Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we're not going there. That's a separate issue. Let's assume man would improve himself. Let's assume that we will set up a system of justice in this world where man will be protected. There will be no such thing as everyone will have health insurance, everyone will have parnasa, everyone will be set for life. No one's going to suffer any. No one's going to be a victim of a crime. But still, you have an obligation, bein Adam Lamakoyim. That's where they argued for 2.5 years.
That's on today's parsha, the Malbim, on the Vayki
Yerid Bein Anoshim Kishu. He says, if you notice, every phrase in three psukim is above a chibur. It's one case, the whole three psukim.
One thing leads.
One, yeah. Ki Yerid Bein Anoshim and Kishu El Amishpot Mishpotzum. It's the Kwesat Tzadek, Yeshir Wesar Rasha, the Ayah Bin Akosar Rasha. It gets down to this, and then this leads to this. It's all one case, because every phrase has a vav.
Right, so one mitzvah, Gereris mitzvah, Avera, Gereris Avera. Okay, so that's.
Isn't that argument if it would be better not to be born? The same thing as saying, it would be better if Hashem didn't create the universe. It's the same concept. If it wasn't for man, what's the point of the universe?
Exactly. So that's exactly what Hashem Meisel said, that it would be better for Hashem not to create the universe, pretty much, because the universe includes man, and man has an obligation, and a man's obligation, it's much more likely he's going to fail in his obligation. So why are we here? We weren't asked. No one asked you if you wanted to be born.
It's a difficult question. What was God's purpose in creating the universe and creating man?
We do know that Hashem did consult with the Malachim. It's very interesting. When before Hashem created man, the Medrash tells us he consulted with the Malachim. They had a little different Russian. So there was the first set of Malachim that said, no, don't create man. So Hashem destroyed them. You're telling me not to create man? What? More. The Chazal say Hashem, he put his finger and burnt them. He destroyed them. He asked another set. Should we create man? No. Then he created a third set. That's the set. So they said, you asking us? We saw what he did to the first two sets of angels. So do what you want. Create man. So what is that? Okay, these are all very, very esoteric, these midrashim. But basically, Hashem only asked the malachim. Hashem did not ask man himself. Hashem never created a human being and said, listen, I'll give you an option. You want to come into this world, or I'll reverse. You'll go back to dust.
Say, kill me now.
Well, what's your alternative is not understanding.
I see the future.
Well, we don't understand Hashem's ways.
Right.
The point is, we have been put into this world against our will. B'shamayim b'sil, they have a theoretical question. If Hashem would have asked man, here you are, it's day one, moment one, do you want to exist? Or we'll just reverse it, you'll never exist. Look at your responsibility, look at the benefits, and look at the risks. Make an analysis. What do you prefer? So Beishamai says that man would have said, yeah, man would have said, I think said yes, Beishamai, right? Beishamai says yes, man, if I would have been that man, I would have said yes, I want to do it. And Beisul says, I would say no, I don't want to do it. I would say no, it's not worth the risk. What's going
on? It's the other way around.
Man should not be born. And Beisul says man should be born. And they argued for 2.5 years, and who won? Beishamai won. Even though we know it wasn't like Beisul, and this matter passed like Beishamai. So the vote was, man should not have been born. But the bottom ones were born. The Gemara says, why? Because Hashem didn't ask us the question. He didn't give us a choice. Hashem has his reasons for creating this world and for creating man. But that issue is a very beautiful idea. It puts it in this pasuk, tells us it's not related to this pasuk. Because that is an issue being Adam Lamakim, and this is an issue of witnessing the horror of what takes place being Adam Lachavera. The nafkamina is that we can create, we can theoretically correct being Adam Lachavera. Or at least we can create a society where we can shelter a group of people from the crimes of Adam Lachaver. Baruch Hashem, we're blessed to live in America. With all the criticism and all of the negativity, it's still, there are billions of people that would give up anything to be part of the 300 million people that live in America and have all the benefits of living in this country. Because there's basically, you can live a free life, you can do whatever you want, and there's justice to some degree. It's incredible bracha. So we're sheltered from, to some degree, from the crimes. So now kicks in the next nafkamina. So very good. Freedom of religion. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to succeed in living a life that's loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, we know that in America there are 1.5 million Jews that know from nothing. They know from absolutely nothing. They don't even know they're Jewish. And even the people who are, even us who are Shabbat Har Mitzvah, we all know how much room for improvement there is. That's the Machlekes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. This Adam Lachaveroi Ben Adam Lamakim. Let's see the mitzvahs on these two Pesukim in Pasuk Beis. V'shavti ani v'shabeach ani, I praise. Right, Rotz Leimar Toiv Yofeh Lameisim Shirim Yodim Meuma. He said they don't know from this. They don't know from the crimes that are done in this world, the acts of aggression, oppression, victimization. The enam mitzdarim al zeh, they have no pain. Shekvar Meisu, Omar Zelit Tosefes Beur. He said these words just for an elaboration. Min Hachayim, Yoiser Min Hachayim Asher Oidim Chayim, more than the living that are still around in this world. Pasuk Gimel, Aden, V'toiv Mishneim, better than both. Min Hachayim, Min Hameisim, Toiv Yoiser Lemish, Adain Lo Hoyo V'lo Noel, never existed. The Omar Kain Derech Melitza, this is an expression. Doesn't it make really make any sense? How can you say it's good for that creature?
You, when there's no you.
When there is no you. So it's just an expression. Asher, what?
Concept.
It's a concept, right? Asher loy ra'a bavur shaloy ra'a klal esamaseh hara hanaseh b'zeh ha'olam. He did not see the evil deeds that are done in this world. V'hu ha'oshek. What are the evil deeds that we're referring to? The oshek. It's the aggression of one man against his fellow man. Ha'omor l'ma'ala. Let's take a look at Rashi. Pasuk Beis and Gimel. Shekvar Meisu. Ad shleshalat bohem yetzer hara. Hazel lit chaysam min hakadosh baruch. Okay, so we're referring over here now. He's right away jumping into the medrash. He's referring to kigoyin ovois harishainim. When it says here, I praise the dead. How many people lived in this world from the beginning of time till now? Does anyone do? Are there any numbers on the world right now? How many people are living at this moment? Approximately 7 billion. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Or the numbers always change. A billion here, a billion there, okay, whatever it is. It's probably impossible to really make probably figure out a number. But let's make believe there are 7 billion. Did anyone ever make a calculation of how many people since Maisa Bereishis? Okay, let's not go back to Maisa Bereishis. That's too far back. Let's go back to the year zero. Okay, the common era. Okay, we're in the year 2015, so let's go back 2015 years. Did anyone make a calculation of how many people in the world lived? I don't know, is there any such statistics?
They've done on certain levels.
What?
They've done
I think there have been
no records. No records. Okay, but it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. The numbers are staggering. How many people existed in this world? It's an amazing thing. And when it says, I praise the dead, it's none of the above. None of the above. Of those billions or trillions of people, none of the above. I'm referring very specifically to three people. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Those are the three people I praise. Why do I praise those three people? Because they were not affected by the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer had no shlita. Shalai shalat bohem Yetzer Hara hazeh. This evil inclination, lidachoisam min hakadosh baruch hu, to push them away from hakadosh baruch hu. Who are we referring to? Well, it says kigoyin the avos harishayim, shleinas shleinene. What's the proof to this? After the chet ha'egel, Moshe pleaded with hakadosh baruch hu to spare Klal Yisrael, and Hashem only acquiesced when he said zuchor leAvraham leYitzchak uleYaakov, zuchus avos. What? Another example. Shlomo HaMelech witnessed firsthand Bezionai's galore when he built the Beis HaMikdash and he brought the Sifrei Torah, the Aron HaKodesh, into the Kodesh HaKodashim. The gates refused entry, refused to allow the Aron to open until they pleaded V'yavoi Melech HaKovayit. Let the Melech HaKavod come. So the gates, it's all the gates needed to hear. That this guy, Shlomo, he thinks he's the Melech HaKavod. There are enough Mishugoyim out there who think they're the Melech HaKavod. Shlomo thinks the gates wanted to swallow him up alive. And he right away figured out what was going on. Mihuze Melech HaKavod. No, not me. Hashem Tzivoko is who Melech HaKavod Tzela. But the gates said, okay, the Ribbono Shel Olam is a good guy, but it's not good enough. Bavur David Avdecha, oh David, Al Toshev Pnei Meshichecha, then the gates open in honor of the Arayim. So David was no longer living at this point in time. And that's what it means, Shabech Shlomo HaMelech, according to the Medrash, which Rashi holds to be the primary interpretation, Pshat in the Pasuk, Pshat. We have to go back to this. Someone just came with, I want to get this kuntras. So on the bookstore, a kuntras on Rashi, analysis on Rashi's derech. It must be very, it's a small kuntras, it must be very interesting. Rashi's derech in giving a parish on Chumash. Someone told me that someone wrote he got a PhD thesis, Bernard Revel. Someone once told me someone wrote a thesis.
Yeah.
Analyzing. Rashi always says, Leibasi Ella Lefarish. I only come to say the simple interpretation. The problem is, probably half the Rashi is on Midrashim. They're not what we call Pshat. You want to know Pshat, you have to look in some of the other commentators. Pshat. So Rashi obviously has a very different translation of Pshat. If he says, Lebasi Ella Lefaresh, or Ella, whatever the expression is.
Yeah. The simplest.
Right, so it means, right, so obviously it doesn't mean literally, it means whatever interpretation fits the best into the psukim. Sometimes it can be taken literally, and sometimes you have to say it's more mystical, it's more of a mashal. Allegorical. It's not
allegorical
and metaphors, things like that. So Rashi here, right? It's a very difficult. Rashi was very unique in what he did, because until Rashi, if you study the books until the time of Rashi, Rashi was the first commentator who wrote a commentary that mixed literal interpretation with Medrash. Until Rashi's time, all of the early commentators, it was one or the other. You either translate the pasuk extremely literally. Everything is to be interpreted extremely literally, or the whole Torah is meant to be interpreted as a mashal. Everything is just a metaphor for something else. Rashi was the first one that says, you know, obviously there are problems with both ways. If you take the Torah too literally, you're going to come out bikaris. You go say, don't go put a stumbling block. Well, but that means that in business, you go that mahalach, you're in a lot of trouble. And if you go with the mahalach, nothing ever happened in the Torah. Kriyas Yamsuf never happened. This never happened. That never happened. Then it's mamish apikorsis. This is the greatest apikorsis. So where do you draw the line? Rashi was the first one that was bold enough to pick and choose. And to write a commentary, and this was very controversial what Rashi did. We take everything for granted because it's been around for 1,000 years, 700 years. It's been around such a long time. But this is Rashi here in these.
The person that wrote that, what his shita was, that all the other commentaries that follow Rashi are just commenting on Rashi. Nobody is giving his own view. They're just commenting on Rashi.
Well, that's some are anyway.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are, but that's basically a fact. You're just starting with Rashi and saying you like it or you don't like it.
Now, when you take all of those rules,
what's his name?
Those rules of Rashi in Chumash, then you have a very difficult jump.
Defends Rashi.
If you apply, you have a very difficult jump to. If we do apply the same set of rules in Rashi's commentary on Nach.
What's
not
Rashi?
Rashi's commentary on Nach could possibly follow different rules. And certainly his commentary on Gemara, Talmud, that's a whole different world altogether. Okay, but anyway, over here, Rashi over here is going into the Medrash. Rashi over here is sitting, dealing with David, V'chein David Avi, Shloi Nenesi Ani V'chein David Avi, Shloi Nenesi Ani B'choft Al Renanos. I was not answered. He sang 24 songs, 24 praises to Hashem that the gates of the Kodesh HaKadoshim should open for the Aron. Ad Shamarti Zochra Lechastei David Avdecha, until he remembered the dead. So therefore, according to the Medrash, the dead we're referring over here is the people, the tzaddikim who have passed from this world. Now the truth is, the Medrash has even more. The Medrash quotes other tzaddikim. Alright, we'll leave, okay, that's the Mitzvah Shabbos. Let's see first the Targum first. The Targum, Pasik, Beis, and, the next Rashi. Next Rashi, Pasik, Gimel, Aden, Adayin, still, Asher Loira, Esamase, Reisi, Bimedish, Koheles, Elu. Now, what is another interpretation? Who is the best? Which generation is the best? It is the 974 generations preceding Briyas Olam. Reisi b'medrash koheles elu tof kuf ayin dalit. Tof is 400, so 874 generations. Doiroi shekoimtoi lihibarois v'loi nivro. Hashem cut them off. This is an amazing medrash. Koimtoi. We always interpret, I think the average person, you're aware of this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that the world, the Torah was waiting for the world for 974 generations. The Torah was in existence, and there was just a delay. There was a delay until after 974 generations. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created the world. And why? What's the number 26? Because it was 26 generations until the time of Matan Torah. So therefore, it was a Hagdama. That's why the number 26 is a very significant number. We even discussed the significance of 26 in creation with L'David Hashem Oiri. The reason why we stopped saying L'David Hashem Oiri is after Hishana Rab, or in Chutz Liar, it's after the first day of Shemini Atzeres, because that's 26 days into creation. When we start with Chaf Hei Elul, Shemini Atzeres is Ach, is 21, but you go back 5 days to the 25th day of Elul, the world was created, so it's going to be 26. So you see that with 26 is very much associated with creation, because the world exists already. For why number 26? The reason why 26 is significant is because it's Mashlim 974. It's a very interesting idea. Because what's the number 26? Yudkei Vavkei. So why is Yudkei Vavkei so special? So we're brainwashed. We just take it as a given. But when you understand that the number 26 is only to be viewed against a backdrop of 974, which together equals 1,000, so the question is just pushed a little bit further. So what is the significance of 1,000? Elef Dar, so 1,000, whatever 1,000, so 1,000, but it's a different question. Elef, Aleph, and Elef is the same. Just so we know the number system is, just I want to point out this, is circular. It's infinite. Aleph and Elef represent the infinite nature of the world. Why? What are the letters of the Aleph base? Aleph through Tav is how many letters? 20. There are 22 letters. And that takes us 1 through 9, then 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 90, 100. And then we have Resh is 200, Shin is 300, Tav is 400. And what comes next? Then comes Menatzkach, but you have to go in the right order. Then comes the Chaf Seifis. What's the Chaf Seifis? 500. Then comes the Mem Seifis, which is 600. Then is the Nun Seifis, 700. Then is the Pei Seifis, 800. And then comes the Tzadit Seifis, which is 900. Those are all the Man Sepach. So what comes after? What comes after the Mem Seif, the Tzadit Seifis? Aleph. The Aleph. What's the Aleph? We go back to the beginning. Aleph is the same as Aleph, 1,000. So Aleph is 1, and all the 27 letters of the Aleph Beis all are representatives of 1 through 900. And the next level is 1,000, which really is the beginning again, is Aleph. The cycle is an infinite cycle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Is infinite. When you take infinity, can you subtract something from infinity in mathematics? Doesn't make sense, right?
Can't do it.
Doesn't make any sense. Still infinity. But in Chazal, there is such a thing. Hashem is Aleph, is infinity. Aleph, Aleph. We subtract from that 26. Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum is that Kadosh Baruch Hu allows himself to be subtracted from infinity. In mathematics, doesn't exist such a concept. To subtract infinity minus 26, or minus 900, minus 900 is still infinity. But in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He has created this reality where He allows us to relate to Him. Hashem is mitzamtzein His Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash, in this world, in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, by subtracting from infinity. What does He subtract from infinity? 26. Hashem created the world, generations before the world. He left over 26, because that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation to us in this world. Now, what's very fascinating about the Medrash that Chazal calls, when I always heard this Medrash, I think I represent many people who believe it the same way, is you just read this Medrash, you don't think much about it. It means there was a delay tactic. If you ever go to an event, if you ever go to a doctor's office, or you go to the DMV, or you go, you have to wait. You go into the store to buy challis for Shabbos, take a ticket. You got to stand on line and you got to wait. Hashem, good things come to those who wait. When you wait, you think, you know, it's very different when you're sitting and waiting before you go into the doctor for 2 hours, then you just go in right away. When you're sitting and waiting for 2 hours, you start thinking a lot of things. You need another doctor. You need a psychiatrist after you go in. But we think Hashem created the world. He created the Torah. Okay, not yet. There's going to be a delay. A delay in order to get things ready. How long will the delay be? For 9,974 generations. Okay. And now, after a long delay, we're ready for takeoff. Finally, the plane is taxiing on the runway. Right? Isn't that the way we... that's how I always understood it.
So 974 generations from starting from where?
From creation.
But the numbers don't make sense.
No. 974 back.
Back. The creation did not happen at creation. But prior to creation, there was a period of time, even though time wasn't created, so it doesn't make any sense anyway. The whole thing is very bizarre. But before the moment of creation, there was a time, a theoretical time of 974 generations. And going back nine, Hashem created the Torah. The Torah was in existence, whatever that means, at that point in time. And the Torah is the blueprint for creation. The Torah is the world. The Torah is everything. And what happened during that time of 974 generations? And how do you define the generation is also a very big mystery. What happened? Nothing happened. There was a delay. That's how I always understood. And then, now, why was there a need for a delay? Okay, so that's another question. Why there's a need? But that's not what the Medrash says. The Medrash says there was not meant to be a delay. 974 generations, it was all systems go. It was action. And Hashem, as Hashem was creating the world, Hashem said, you know what? In the garbage. I'm not interested. These generations will not bring me any satisfaction. Hashem cut them off. He completely cut them off. That's the words of the Rashi. Elu tav tav kufayin da'ale d'ro shekoytmo shekoymtoy lehibarois. Hashem cut it off from creation. V'loy nivru. Because Hashem saw nothing. Why not? So you can say because, according to Rashi, that's the simple pshat of this pasuk. The toiv mishnehem, greater than the people who lived, the avos hakedoshim, and David HaMelech, and all the tzaddikim who lived, and greater and better than the people who are still alive, who still have an opportunity to do tshuva, is the generation, are the 974 generations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu nipped in the bud.
They didn't exist.
What was cut off? We don't know. I don't know.
Generations of people, but there were no people.
That's what the Mitzvah says. It's a Melitza. It doesn't really make any sense, because you can't define something which doesn't exist. The toiv, that's how Rashi learns pshat in the pasuk. The toiv mishnehem, better than Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Can you say such a thing? Can you, if I would say this, I'm not a bikkurist to say such a thing. Well, this is what Rashi says.
Baruch Hagiga basically says that God was attempting to start, give the Torah to the world after 1,000 generations. That's how they interpret the pasuk that you mentioned.
Not the Torah.
But he realized the world couldn't exist that long, gave it after 26. That's the way the Gemara... He was originally going to give the Torah at the end of 1,000 generations, but then realized that the Torah, the world could...
That's a different halakha.
Right. Right. But that's the way the Gemara explained that pasuk.
He wishes a chacham on pasuk, pasuk. All of the machshava. Let's see. Nigzru. Just find who pays. Nigzru. Lahibaros lashon vatikniteni to cut off. Kaidem shneiv ha'olam nigzar aleim libaros. He was nigzalim libaros. She avo kaidem matan Torah. Ruui ha'isat Torah lidas in the lel of dar. Shorosh ein ha'olam miskayim. Loi Torah amad the tar dal min ha'olam. The Himtin Matan Torah Eshim Veshishim Doros Me'odim Bi'ad Moshe Rabbeinu Kain Peresh Rashi Perik Ein Dersh. Okay, same idea. Listen to this idea, but it's whatever this means. It means it's a very bizarre. Better than Moshe Rabbeinu, better than the Avos HaKadoshim, and certainly better than the people that are still living on those 974 generations that were nipped in the bud. That's what it says. A very frightening idea. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll do the Targum Rishon on Monday.
We get the idea that the world existed before this world.
Yep. That's another idea. That in this world itself, Hashem had many worlds. Dinosaurs.
Do you make another bracha and put it back on?
If there's a long period of time, and
I don't know.
You must see it about it.
Sure. Stop me. I don't know. I never thought about it.
There's no kriyat to wear. The reason I'm asking it is because we said if you put on film, so I always put on Rabbeinu Tam after the shot.
Yeah.
So I don't make a bracha.
Of course not. You never make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam.
Right. But if I would put it on for mincha,
Rabbeinu Tam?
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
Why not?
We don't pass like Rabbeinu Tam. You never make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam.
I would put it on Rashi again.
Yes, you do make a bracha. Definitely. In front of Rashi, make a bracha. Definitely.
So we don't make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam?
Never, never, ever.
I thought we don't make it just because we put it on Rabbeinu Tam.
We want if you simcha to Rashi, so then they get you get in, you get in the bracha.
But
l'chatchil to make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam because we don't pass like Rabbeinu Tam. We pass like Rashi.
So then it should be, if you don't make a bracha, it should be vice versa.
No, because that's halacha. That would, since there's a possibility. There's another mahalik.
Someone comes into shul, he doesn't have to fill it.
Yeah.
And I only have Rabbeinu Tam.
No bracha. He puts it out without a bracha. If he owns Rabbeinu Tam,
so it's mekayim.
What?
What is he? He's not mekayim anyway. He's a shayla. Maybe.
I don't know until yesterday either. I don't even really know who he is. What?
The email came out. That was an email.
Yeah, I saw. I got the email. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not even sure I know who he is. He's one of the administrators of one of the members of the board.
He graduated my class from a few.
Oh, you know him?
I don't know him that well, but I knew him. He graduated. He was honored at the dinner last year, 15th over. He and last grade.
Yeah, I heard he's not doing too well. Yeah, I don't know. Who?
His brother. He had a younger brother who was a caterer under the train.
Hollander?
McDonald.
When?
McDonald? You know McDonald, which is now owned by the same guy who owns...
palace?
Yeah.
How used to be the royale?
Yeah, he used to be the royale.
Holland's brother?
Yeah.
He was the royale.
Yeah.
And he died?
Oh, a year ago, yeah.
How did he, what did he die from?
Right.
I think he said he got hit by a train.
Got hit by a god.
I didn't know how to do a lot of these things.
All right.